talk about the fallacy of common ground for a moment. And let's talk about the kidnapping that I mentioned earlier. The first kidnapping I worked in the Philippines. Now, this is an American who's overseas doing something he shouldn't do. Now, he thinks he's got common ground going. He's an American, but he's living in the Philippines, so he's got literal common ground. He's there in the country. He also thinks it's a largely Muslim area because he's in the south of the Philippines, and he's a Muslim, so I got more common ground. We got religious common ground. He's dedicated to Islam. As a matter of fact, his understanding of the religion is in-depth. He studied in school. And those of you that either are Muslim or familiar with the Muslim religion, you know one of the many things to be admired about the religion is it prizes scholarship highly. It prizes knowledge of the religion. And Jeffrey has an in-depth knowledge of the religion, so he's got more common ground. And he's in love with a local female. Look at this. I'm not exploiting a local female. I'm actually in love with her, and I've married her. That's common ground. So therefore, I know where the local terrorist group, the Abu Sayyaf, is coming from. I'm a good guy. I'm on your side. But it's eye-focused. Again, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about you. Empathy is not about you. How do they see you? They see him as a stupid American. Things he can take up with one of our women, which is highly offensive. It's not common ground. He's telling us what our religion is. We don't care if he's right. When was the last time somebody came into your house and started to explain your religion to you? Did you care that they were right? Simultaneously, compensation. There was a recent kidnapping in the area where a rival faction of this terrorist group got $20 million for the release of 20 Western European hostages. So at the end of the day, compensation plays a role. An American overseas doing something stupid. This is a sociopath that has him. The question I often get, or the one that I like to throw out, is does empathy work on sociopaths? Well, this guy is a sociopath. He's got on his uniform. Sunglasses, black bandana, black t-shirt, camo pants, 45 strapped to his side, 45 caliber automatic handgun strapped to his side of his camouflage pants. He thinks this makes him look daring and dashing. He doesn't have on sunglasses because it's sunny in the south of the Philippines. It is, but he's got them on because he thinks it makes him look more photogenic. And this is the negotiator that I'm coaching. Now, we go through the negotiation for a period of months. The terrorist is not asking for ransom for the release of the American. He's asking for war damages for 500 years of oppression in the south of the Philippines, from the Spanish to the Japanese to the Americans. Now, right now, you're saying like, well, this is one reason why hostage negotiation doesn't apply to me. Because I was never in a negotiation where the other side were bringing up things from the past that had nothing to do with me, that occurred to them before I ever showed up. In my business negotiations, people don't react like that. They don't bring baggage to the table. Oh, wait a minute. That happens at every negotiation. People bring their history of experience to the table, even history I had nothing to do with. So we finally decide, after 4 months of a stalemate, that we're going to get a that's right out of the terrorist. So I coach my negotiator, today you get a that's right. He gets a terrorist on the phone. He says, you know, you're not asking for ransom for the American. You're asking for war damages for 500 years of oppression. And he goes on at length over the injustices that occurred and the things that the other side had experienced. It had nothing to do with the Americans or the American being held, but what they had experienced. And after going on at length over the other side's experience, he goes silent. He doesn't offer an argument in return. He just goes silent. And the kidnapper on the other end of the phone says, that's right. He summarizes the other side's facts, not our facts, but their facts, and how they felt about the facts. And the kidnapper says, that's right. And the ransom demand goes away. It just goes away. Money is never mentioned again in the kidnapping. It takes several more twists and turns. And on Maundy Thursday, on the Thursday before Easter, the hostage walks away. The military flew down and picked him up. They held a big press conference in Manila announcing the rescue. We flew Schilling back, the American, back to the United States. And I was back in the Philippines a couple of weeks later. I connected back up with the negotiator that I had coached. And he said, "You're not going to believe who called me on the phone." I said, "I don't know who called you on the phone." "The sociopathic terrorist." "What did he say?" He said, "Have you been promoted yet?" "I don't know what it was," he said to me on the phone. "I was going to kill the American. You're really good at what you do. They should promote you." This is what the demonstration of understanding gets, ladies and gentlemen, because in that moment, the person who lost everything called the person on the phone responsible for it to congratulate him and let him know that he was still willing to talk to him. Despite everything that happened, he was still willing to talk and collaborate should they talk again. Everybody that you interact with should always be willing to talk with you, because your brand is empathy. Your brand is understanding. That's what That's Right does when you begin to apply this to all of your interactions. People will always be willing to talk with you. Your brand is empathy. Your best self is relayed to others through the use of empathy.